Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a powerful message that had in that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And Sunday nights we've been going through and studying on little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And we've been looking at some Bible characters that you really, if you've never stopped and thought about and looked up and just seen how God used them, you might not remember their names. But I believe there's many Bible characters that we overlook, and if we overlook them, we overlook why God has them in the Scriptures for us. If they have been preserved in the Word of God, then God has a message for us through that. And so I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you as we've been going through and studying on little-known Bible characters. Tonight, this is the only place in the Bible that this Bible character is mentioned, and yet it has a message for us through this Bible character. And the Bible character we're looking at tonight is Pilate's wife. That's what the Lord calls her. That's this lady. We don't know her name. We just know her as being Pilate's wife. And so Matthew chapter 27, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading in verse 15 down to verse 25. The Jews, the religious leaders of the day, wanted to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they rejected him as being the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And we find here that they were trying to persuade the rulers to be able, the Roman rulers, to be able to crucify him. And Pilate was a governor in the land. And so Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. The Bible says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release one unto the people, a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream, because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto him, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the entire, inspired, eternal Word of God that you have preserved for us, that we might understand the Old Testament history and the law, we might understand the New Testament church and Christianity that Jesus Christ himself ushered in. We thank you, Lord God, that we can assemble ourselves together and freely worship you in spirit and truth and open up the very words of God and hear them being preached. And I pray tonight, God, that you would just work through the preaching and the teaching of thy word. Help each and every one here to have that ear to hear exactly what you have for them tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Pilate had interrogated Jesus, and if you'd read the entire story, chapters on both sides, you'll find all that's taken place. But he had already interrogated Jesus and realized that he was not guilty of any crime, especially a crime that would lead to a crucifixion. And so he knew that they were delivering him for personal reasons, as the scriptures have already told us. And I believe he was about to release Jesus, because in verse 14, the Bible says that he answered him to never a word, insomuch Jesus did not answer back after Pilate had asked him a few questions, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. When Pilate had been interrogating Jesus, this is something that was just, it marveled. Pilate had never seen any prisoner that would respond the way that Jesus did. And so we find that he marveled at this, and he knew that it was coming time that he would pardon a prisoner. And he chose a notable prisoner for the people to choose from. A notable prisoner, in verse 16, means that everyone there knew this was a prisoner that deserved to be there. A murderer, possibly a rapist, a thief, whatever, all the different things. He was a notable. He was one of the worst of the worst. And so in Pilate's mind, surely, if he would get one of the worst of the worst, surely the people would not want to release him back into society. And so they would ask that they would pardon Jesus because he had done nothing wrong. And that was no doubt his reasoning, and he would have done just that, thinking surely that they would pardon Christ. In verse 18, he says, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him," being Jesus. And so in his mind, this is all we have to do. We just have to pick one of the worst of the worst. We'll put them together and say, "All right, now, which one would you want me to pardon and release back into society?" Well, in verse 19, as he sat down to make his judgment, he was interrupted by a letter from his wife. Verse 19, when he was set down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Now, probably no one else could have interrupted him at that time. And he possibly, all the other officers there, would not have even thought about interrupting the governor when he was about ready to make judgment, except it was a message from his wife. And that's what we're looking at this evening, is this Bible character that God has given to us in this very serious moment of history, and how God work through her life, because he did. First of all, we find that her assessment. The first thing that we find here is she says, as he goes ahead and holds everything, and he says, "All right, bring me the letter. Let me read the letter from my wife." And as he sat down, his wife sent it to him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Jesus was a just man. Pilate knew that he had done nothing wrong. "I find no fault in him," he would later say. He knew that they had delivered him for envy, their personal reasons. They were jealous of how the people would look to them and to him instead of to the religious rulers. Many different reasons there. But her assessment was that Jesus Christ was a just man. No doubt, as the governor's wife, she would have known what was going on. As any good wife would want to watch out for her husband. Amen? That's why the Lord gives us our wives, for one of the reasons, so that they can help us. Amen? Sometimes we might do things that we shouldn't do and say things we shouldn't say. One of my most important critics that I listen to, I don't listen to all of them, but I do listen to my wife, amen? And I try to, she wants to help me whenever I might be doing something that I shouldn't be doing or saying something. Now, my daughters seem to want to try to help me in saying things as well, and help me and try to tell me not to use them in illustrations that I preach about, you know? And I'm thinking, God gave you to me for illustration purposes, amen? No doubt about it. I have a lifetime of illustrations of raising these two girls. I have a lifetime of things, and you've heard a lot of those things, and some of them maybe I should not have presented, but I've got to do what God tells me to do. your wife, and that's something that, praise the Lord for a godly wife, because she's just not a yes person. That's not what a husband needs. As I preached on this morning, we have a relationship in marriage, but do we really get out of our relationship everything that God wants us to get out of our relationships in a marital relationship? The only way that we can do that is that both are exactly what God wants you to be in that relationship. Wives need to realize that you have a very important position in your husband's life. You have a very important position in your family's life. But the most important position you have is what God has given to you. That position of support, that position of being there and encouraging and helping and showing respect and submitting to that authority when that time comes. That's not saying the wife is less than the man or the man less than the wife. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord when it comes to marital relationship. God has a position for both of us. And so we find here that God uses Pilate's wife. And her assessment was exactly what he needed to hear. This man is a just man. Some believe that she might have even heard Jesus preach. Some believe that she was possibly even a saved woman, that she had believed him to be the Messiah, and she had received him as her personal Lord. The Bible doesn't give us that. The Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible does reveal that this woman, Pilate's wife, knew that Jesus was a just man. Many others would come to this conclusion about Christ during his crucifixion. If you look over to the book of Luke with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, verse chapter 23. We're going to have communion tonight, and that's remembering the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to know who he was and who he is. We need to remember the sacrifices made. It draws us closer to him, and in drawing closer to him, it'll draw you closer in all your other relationships of life. Luke in chapter 23, verse 39, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." It was very known. The people knew that he was a just man. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Even the thief on the cross, seeing that Jesus was a just man and realized what they said about him, and in his own heart he believed it to be true. This is the Christ, the Son of the only begotten Son of God. This is a Savior of the world. And people are crucifying him. And on the cross, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today." Didn't have a chance to do any good works. Didn't have a chance to even be baptized. All he had to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Look down to verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man." Not only the thief on the cross would come to the very same conclusion that Pilate's wife came to, but the centurion, after he saw Jesus give up the ghost, he realized this was no ordinary man. There was something very different about this man. Surely this was the Christ, the Savior of the world. So her assessment was accurate. She was given that assessment by God himself. If you go back with me now, Matthew chapter 27. So we find that she calls him and she acknowledges him as being a just man. Whether or not she had herself received him as Savior or not, the Bible doesn't say, but her assessment of him and who he was correct. And she says something else here that I believe God would want to use in understanding why this character is in the Bible. She said, he's a just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Many things this day. She's suffering, her suffering, many things in a dream. Evidently, God sent a message to Pilate through his wife in a dream or a vision. Now, we know that this was still the Old Testament law. This was a transitioning into the New Testament, and God would work through dreams, and he would work through visions, and we understand that signs and wonders were part of how God worked until the Word of God was completed. Then there's no need for that because we have the written down words of God. There are no new revelations. There's nothing else, nothing new that God wants us to know than what he's written down for us. But we find in this particular case, they did not have the completed Bible as we have it today. And evidently, God wanted to work through her to send a message, not only to Pilate, but to send a message that would be recorded in the Scriptures for all to read. Yeah. Suffered many things in a dream. Have you ever had a nightmare? I remember as a child, and probably shouldn't have been doing this, Dad was working, he worked the late shift, and we would watch Sammy Terry on television. Mom would be in bed, I don't know that she even realized it most of the time, but we would sneak in there and we'd watch it. And I'm totally against that today, really am, because all it does is gives your kid nightmares, you know? Makes you think that there's a monster going to come out and get you at any time, you know? And Frankenstein has already been raised from the dead, all the different things, or there's a werewolf out there, all the old-time scary movies. Some might even not know who the Wolfman was. I don't know. But anyway, every time I would watch something like that, you know, in the night, I would think about this, and I'm finding myself running from either Frankenstein or the Wolfman or the Mummy, one of those three. Those were the three main characters back in my day, anyway, of the horror stories. And I would find myself, and I would wake up in a cold sweat thinking, oh, help me. And I'd tell you, I think I'm not watching that again until the next night or whenever it come around again. You think, then you forget about it, and then it all plays all over again. But God spoke to her. And her dream wasn't because she had watched a scary movie. But I believe God more than likely revealed to her the reality of a place of hell. That's reality. That's not a costume. That's not make-believe. She'd possibly given a vision of the great white throne judgment. The book of Revelations in chapter 20. The Bible tells us a little bit about this. If you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will die in your sins, but you will be resurrected to experience a second death. And the second death is being cast into an eternal lake of fire forever. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that's the Lamb's book of life, the way you get your name written down in the Lamb's book of life is to call upon the name of the Lord to be your Savior. Amen. And when you trust Jesus Christ as a sacrificial lamb to be your Savior, then he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life, and your name is there forever. Amen. If it's not, it's not found written in the book of life. It was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know that Jesus taught more about the literal place of hell than he taught about a literal place of heaven? Although heaven is real, but what mankind needs to understand more than heaven's real is that hell is real. And that is not, that's a place that no one should ever want to go to. Book of Mark in chapter 9, the book of Mark in chapter 9, just to read just a couple of verses here and what the Bible says about it. Matthew, Mark, chapter 9. Verse 43 and verse 44. Jesus is teaching, and he says, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." I could go on, and there's much about in the Bible that reveals to us what hell is going to be like. It is not going to be a party with your friends. It's going to be everlasting torment. It is going to be worse than the worst horror movie that you've ever seen. It's going to do more to help you to understand that I do not want that in my life. I do not want to have to worry about going to a place of eternal damnation. It is a real place. It's not Hollywood. It's not make-believe. It's real. It's reality. And I believe that Pilate's wife possibly seen her husband crying out as he's cast into the eternal lake of fire. She loved her husband and wanted to warn him of the consequences of rejecting Christ. She knew that they wanted to crucify him. She knew that they were going to have his blood on their hands. And she wanted to warn her husband and said, "Have nothing to do with him. Do not reject him. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is a just man. He is a righteous man." Her counsel, in closing, have nothing to do with him, with that crucifixion. Have nothing to do with his death. Do not condemn him or reject him as King of the Jews. Her testimony was that he was who he claimed to be. Here's Pilate's wife. One verse in the Bible about this little known Bible character. But God worked through her to try to warn her husband and possibly anybody else that would have listened. Her counsel was, don't reject him. Don't have anything to do with his crucifixion. Sadly, he would not take heed. The Bible says, if you go back to our text, Matthew chapter 27, he wanted to. I believe that he believed his wife, but he would be put in between having to be rejected himself of the Jewish leaders or to be rejected by Christ. Does he stand on the side of Jesus Christ and say, "No, he's done nothing worthy of death. I will not be the one to send him to the crucifixion. I will have nothing to do with his death. I will have nothing to do with this crucifixion." Would he stand on the side of God and say, "He is the Messiah, he is the Christ"? Or would he bow to the religious rulers and turn away from him? Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement, that is the disturbance amongst the Jews, atonement, a disturbance, was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Is that really going to keep you from being guilty of the blood of Christ? Are you going to try to remain neutral in the world that we live in? Well, Christians today in the United States, they have, you know, just not the kind of support that I want to be involved in. And they have to stand on certain topics. They have to take stands against certain worldly things and this and that. And I don't know that I want to really be associated with them. And you try to remain neutral on the topics of our day and where you're going to stand. Think that's going to get you by? He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Well, you're not innocent of the blood of this just person, because in verse 26, the Bible says, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. If you're not for him, you are against him. There is no neutral ground when it comes to Christianity. You're either for Christ and you're wanting to stand for him and stand for what he represents, or you're against him. A neutral vote for Christianity is a vote for the devil. Amen? It really is. Yeah. He gave the order. He rejected Christ as his own Savior. He would not take heed to his wife's counsel. And possibly is in hell today, still trying to wash the blood off, thinking that could do it. But he rejected the Savior, no matter how much he tries to wash the blood off. It's on his hands. He's going to be forever in a place of eternal damnation. Don't make that same mistake. I believe as God sent a message through his wife to Pilate, it's recorded so that we might hear the very same message. Our assessment of Jesus Christ is that he's a just man. He is righteousness. He's the very Son of God. And our counsel should be, don't reject him, but trust in him to be your own personal Lord and Savior. What will you do with Jesus Christ even tonight? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. After the invitation, we're going to have Lord's Supper. As a church family, we'll be remembering what Jesus has done for us. He hung on Calvary's cross for you. Will you be willing to take a stand for him? Are you willing to represent Jesus Christ to the world? Or will you try to remain neutral and find yourself trying to wash the blood off of your hands? Take a stand. Stand on the side of righteousness. Stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and represent him. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for this little-known Bible character that has a powerful message. And I pray, God, that we would receive this message that you sent through Pilate's wife to Pilate and every other one that reads this. and that our assessment would be the same. What a just man. What a righteous man. What a righteous God. We would receive Him as our own personal Lord and Savior. Work in our midst tonight. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.